Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. It's the parable of the lost son. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet, you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Well, last time I spoke, I talked about Jesus becoming and recognized as the king. And remember that he, on the cross, was displayed that this is King of the Jews, and it was in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. So in fact, it was an announcement to all the world that Jesus Christ is King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he replaced the King of this world, which he said earlier that when he was going to be lifted up, he shall draw men unto him. But the problem was that their idea of a king wasn't the same as God's. And they thought that this king was going to come with might and power and come against the Romans and so on and set up something in that manner. Same as the world does today, works by militancy and that sort of thing mostly. But the kingdom of God is a different kind of way about it. And this parable shows a little bit about this kingdom of God. Now, the bit that was Lisa read out was the parable of the son, lost son. But in fact, there's two more bits to that, you might know. And it's all one parable. It's all talking about one issue. And I'll just go back. I want to get that out of the way. Yeah. So here he was trying to explain to them. And it begins that all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So they were objecting to this kind of new authority, if you like, a new way in which the Messiah should rule, and the fact that he associated with people who the religious setup would not have anything to do with, and it utterly floored them. They couldn't understand how Jesus welcomed sinners. That word "received" actually means he welcomed sinners. That's a wonderful thing. But they were too kind of religious and self-righteous to realize that God so loved the world. And when we speak of the world, I'm not speaking of Africa or Europe or whatever, Asia. The world in God's eyes is that which is in complete rebellion and misunderstanding of God's ways, but he still loved it. And in that state of affairs of the world, this rebellious world, he said, God so loved it that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he's come into this world to save sinners, all the rebellious, the non-religious, all the religious, everybody he wants to bring into his kingdom. But the kingdom of God is so different to what people may think it is. The first bit of this parable concerns a lost sheep. And it talks about a man with 100 sheep, and there's one missing. And they're in the wilderness. And he goes out to find it. And he goes out and finds it, puts it on his shoulders, and carries it back to his house. One of the repetitive things about this parable, the three bits of it, the sheep, the coin, and the son, is to do with house. And we'll see this as we go along. You see, there was these 99. Now, you have to understand that he was talking to the religious people of that day who did not understand the real heart of God. And there they were in the wilderness, and they would have realized when Jesus talked about that, he was really saying to them, you're still in the wilderness. You haven't actually entered in to what God really wanted you to enter into. Okay, you've come into a land, but in your hearts, you're still in the wilderness. And they would have realized that, and that would have been quite upsetting to them. And of course, there is many, many people still thinking that they're in the where God wants them to be, but they have no heart for God. There's no love there. And they do not know the love of God, but they carry on anyway. But he finds there's one sheep not in this. Maybe there's a bar somewhere up in the mountains, and he goes and finds it. And this sheep can't get back on his own, so he carries it, puts it on his shoulders, and he carries it back to his house, and all his friends rejoice with him. And the thing is, what he was trying to say is that in the wilderness, there was the tabernacle. That is the house of God. That is where human beings were supposed to meet with God. It was a place where they could find forgiveness and mercy. They could find that where there was a place where blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, and all their sins could be dealt with and forgiven. So the house was there, the structure was there, but they really weren't in it at all. But this occasion, he carries them back to his house. And it's a wonderful illustration that what Jesus was saying, look, I want you to come not into a religious formal thing. I want you to come into my house, my home, where God and human beings can meet, where heaven meets earth. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place. And when that happens, he says that all heavens and the angels in heavens rejoice. And there's a party. There's a celebration. It is so wonderful when somebody turns and realizes, has their eyes open to the wonderful love of God for people who are out of the way. Bless his wonderful name. And you know that we have all that stamp on every one of us. We've been all like sheep, have gone astray, haven't we? Every one of us have turned to his own way. Okay, we might be have kind of some religious stamp. I didn't, but I had no religious upbringing. But the wonderful thing is that God found me. Somehow, in the cry of my heart, many decades ago now, but God heard that little bleat from me. And he came and he put me on his shoulders and took me into his house. And somehow, all the angels in heaven thought, this is absolutely remarkable. Even Brian has been saved. And it was a wonderful occasion, an occasion I'll never, ever forget. And I've been in his house since then, where God meets man, where I know sins are forgiven and his great mercy is multiplied. Then the next little bit of this parable was about a woman, and she, having 10 coins, she says she loses one coin. And that is, they would have understood that the what he was talking about is somebody who's married, and these silver coins, as it says, silver coins, she wore them as a sign of her covenant with her husband, a sign of her faithfulness, her love to her husband. And this woman found that she'd lost it. The relationship had been broken. And it was a desperate situation. A marriage had been disrupted. One thing had disappeared from it. There was something in the marriage that was missing. And she realized, I've got to find the other bit of coin. I've got to regain and enter into the covenant that I had lost. I've lost. It's been broken. It needs mending. It needs forgiveness. It means reconciliation. And you know, when God talks about silver coins, he's talking about redemption. And the redemption that is in Christ, he's talking about that we become married to him. And that relationship must never be lost. God has made a covenant with those who've made a covenant with him. In other words, when he says, when we have a marriage, we say, will you take this husband, wife for your so-and-so? You reply, I will. And that is a covenant. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for health and sickness, and so on. And in the same manner, we have made a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And this woman had lost that. Part of the redemption had gone, and she came to her senses and realized it, and realized things aren't supposed to be like this. And she got a light, like the Word of God, began reading the Bible, if you like, and until she found that silver, that redeeming coin that brought back that relationship with the Lord Jesus. Wonderful how he's trying to explain to these people who are really in the wilderness. They hadn't really entered into the things of God, into this wonderful relationship that God wanted. And like this woman, it was all in the house. And God wants to come into your house. That is your life, your body, your whole being. So that is fulfilled, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And you love him like that because he's loved us first. And, you know, Paul prays, he says, do you know, I want you to do this. This is what I really pray for, that you might know the love of God, which is higher and broader and deeper than you can ever really appreciate. And I really want you to pray this. And I'll pray with you. You know, that is the key to redemption. The love of God in our hearts. And knowing how much he's loved us and loving him. And that relationship of redemption. The blood that's been spilled. The sacrifice that he's made, and he's saying, look, this is how you know I love you. If you're ever in doubt, look at the cross. That's where it's manifested, where Christ took upon your sin and had mercy on you. That is, you know, he's not counting up what you've done wrong anymore. and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed it from all sin. Every spot, every wrinkle, everything. He's dealt with it all. And if we're prepared to humble ourselves, confess it, do you know, he'll make us a brand new person. Fit us to be with him forever and ever. When you think about how holy he is, that's the most remarkable thing in the whole of universe and whole of time that's ever been known, that the angels, as he says, rejoice over one sinner that repents. So often we don't recognize ourselves as sinners. But when we do, it's the first step of recovery. The second step is having faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the passage that was read for us was about a son. And in fact, two children. And the younger son took the kind of lead, if you like, and said, look, I want my inheritance now, he says. Give it me, the portion of my good that falls to me. And what he was saying, normally, you see, you don't get inheritance until there is a death. You know, that's when people make out their wills. And when somebody dies, you inherit their goods and so on. If it's left to you in the will, that is. So actually, what this son was saying, and the older son was party to it, he was saying, I wish you were dead. That's the extent to what he was so wrong about. He was saying to his father, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. That's a dreadful, dreadful thing to say, isn't it? And you would think that the father would say, right, okay, here's your inheritance. I don't want ever to see you again. I would note that not only the younger son, but the older son took his portion as well. And the younger son went off and lived a lifestyle which was absolutely extreme. And the parable is really saying, look, no matter how extreme you've gone into this world, no matter how bad you've been, and this man had gone into prostitution and he had been associated with swine, which, of course, if you were a Jew, that was the lowest, lowest places you could have possibly been. And Jesus drew near to sinners, it says. Sinners drew near to him. And this is a wonderful thing, you see. This man had gone the whole way, eaten of the dregs of sin, if you like. And he came to his senses, said, look, I've tried everything in this world, and I've heard people who are wealthy and have got everything that this world could offer because of wealth and fame and celebrity and so, but in their hearts, they know that there's something desperately missing. They've got and they don't know what it is very often. And then the gospel comes to them and someone tells them about a savior who's able to fulfill that which the world cannot fill and bring them into a life that is with God and his son, Jesus Christ. It's a different kingdom. It's different to what the world can give. And this young man, he came to his senses, said, I'm going to make a confession. Not only have I sinned against you, but also heaven. And you know, we've done many, many things in our lives which we regret. And sometimes we have flashbacks and remember things, and it's awful. And what we've said or done or thought or wished against our human companions. And but you know, actually, that bad enough as that is, we've sinned against heaven too. We've sinned against God. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered so he could have a relationship with her, he said, against thee, talking to God, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. He knew that the dreadful thing he had done in his life was not just against Bathsheba's husband and her and him in his adultery. He had also sinned against God. And it was God who was going to have to pay for it. And he did on the cross. And God has paid for every sin. And he said, wash me. He came to the place of confession. And he said, wash me, wash me, wash me. Make me whiter than the snow. Deal with it. And in the great mercy and grace of God, he did find restoration. And so this son who had gone away, you know, he came to his senses. He had to humble himself. There's no doubt about it. But not only that, you know, the father hadn't abandoned him. In his heart, I don't know, taking it a bit further, if you like, that father was looking and hoping and praying for the return of this son. Do you know, there's a great place for lamenting and sorrow and weeping. Christians maybe have not really, sometimes I'm not speaking for everyone, but you know, all I'm really saying, there's a place for sorrow, great sorrow for people to come back to the Lord. Paul had that. He said, I have great sorrow for my countrymen that they might be saved. And there's a great sorrow in the Father's heart and a watching for people who will return to him. Will you return? If you're in that position, do you know, will you return? It says that the Father had compassion on him. And that really means a feeling of distress at the bad state of another. Have you ever had that? A feeling of distress at the bad state of another. You know, it sort of gets you right deep, deep down and how you wish for a person's freedom in his heart, in their hearts. If they could only come to the house. And here the son, again, he was coming back to the house where Father was. You know, Jesus said, in my Father's house, there's many mansions, dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. Yeah, you, the one who was with harlots, the one who was defiled to the very extreme. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. How did he, could he possibly do this? He wasn't just wiping the muck off him. He was going to take it all in his own body. And that blood, that redeeming blood, was going to pay the price for this sin that we've all had in us. You see, we might think we've not gone to the extreme of this person, but nevertheless, You know, it's not talking about extremes. We've all gone too far to get back on our own account. There's nothing in us that our own righteousness will give us a standing before God. Christ stood in our place, stood, hung on our place, if you like, on that cross, hung. Those nail-pierced arms and the spear in his side and the crown of thorns on his head and the blood that came down streaming through his body was redeeming blood, forgiving blood. It's marvelous. Marvelous. Anyway, he comes back to the house. And do you know, the Father reinstates him and all rights are restored. There's no question about it. There's no going over his past life. There's no hesitation. There's no kind of saying, well, I've got to put you in probation, see how you get on, make sure you do it again. None of that at all. This is the immense love of God. There's no grudges, no strings attached, nothing. If a person, a man, a woman, a child will come to Christ in this manner, do you know, he will welcome sinners. And no wonder sinners drew near to him, thinking, this is the man. This is the Savior I want. This is the King I want to rule over me. I'm completely undeserving, but what manner of love has he bestowed upon me that I should be called a child of God? Came back and he kissed him and kissed him, put a robe on him, put sandals on his feet and put a ring on his finger and says, you're mine. You're mine. But there's no, and he went away and celebrated, like all the other bits we've read. Marvelous celebration. Unbelievable celebration in heaven when you come and I come back to the Lord. All the angels who desire to look into this are astounded at it all. The complete reversal of what we're in. And, but there was a bit of a problem. The other son, the elder son, was a bit peeved about it. And he came and said, look, you never did this to me. You know, and he was really upset about it all. The trouble was, you know, he might have been there. He might have been still there in the same house, but there was no mercy. No mercy at all. You know, we've got to have mercy like God has had mercy on us. You know, God, mercy means he's not going to hold anything against us. And that was the trouble. He had no mercy, no compassion at all. And the Father said, look, your son, as far as your brother, I mean, he was dead. And so he was really saying to these people, the Jews and so on, he said, there's a resurrection, a new life for the worst being there is who's counted as dead. God will give them a resurrection life, a new beginning, complete new beginning, the slate wiped absolutely clean, and give them a new, and I'll give them, you who are once dead in trespasses and sins, he will quicken us, he will give us a new life, a new relationship that was broken, a covenant that was broken. He will bring that sheep that was lost back to his own house. And it's all so wonderful, so loving, so merciful. Do you know, I can't get over it, and I don't want to get over it. It's so wonderful. So I'll just end there. And he just said to the son, the elder son, look, he said, all that I have is yours. Do you know, that's what he wants to say to you and I this morning. All that I have is yours. Come and enjoy it. Come and partake of it. Come and embrace it. It's all yours. Not because of what you are, but because of my love and my sacrifice for you. Bless you all.